Okay. Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
This is Tom, and
Connie.
That was Connie. Jacqueline is going for a conference up in Cincinnati. And can you just give me okay, good. Just wanted to make sure we were being heard. So, yes, we are. So Jacqueline will not be joining us this evening. It will be me and Connie. And I trust that the recording is running, and we're happy to be here. haven't been before the mic in quite some time, and so it's
you'll be good as usual.
It's a fun experience. And,
Tom said he was a little nervous.
Yeah,
he's so good at this. I don't know why he would ever be nervous.
Well, there's you know, it's just the Tom self feels very present at time, you know, and so one can never truly be confident in the personal self. But to the degree that is transcended, then the flow and the spontaneous wisdom arises and has room to, has space to emerge.
That sounds like our prayer.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that was
that is our prayer, right?
That is a prayer.
That spontaneous,
yeah,
Holy Spirit, higher self-service,
yeah,
self emerges.
Yeah, yeah.
And we seek the wisdom.
And we can be it and the witness to it at the same time. And I know, I'm quite sure you guys finished chapter 14 last week.
We did. I think
13 and 14.
15.
And we are prepared to start with NTI John chapter 15. And I always go by pages, so that's on page 205.
At the very bottom,
right. So I'll start the reading. And I will do my best to keep an eye on the board. I have Connie here with, she's monitoring it every now and then. But I tend to be myopic when I'm doing the teaching. So sometimes I don't look at the board, but I'll do my best to take a glance and respond to any queries or comments. Okay, NTI, John, chapter 15. And here, I'm just going to clear my throat. All right, we begin. You are not separate, and so you can do nothing alone. All that you do of me. And all that you do not do of me, you have not done. Therefore, do not fear, for you cannot make a mistake if a mistake must be an action taken apart from me. And yet no action can be separate from me, as there can be no separate. Anything that is not of me does not exist. And so anything that is not of me isn't. It is nothing to be concerned about, because it is nothing. And this is a particular. I know there's many many students or many people who follow what they consider a very clear voice of guidance within, and. From my experience, I haven't. There have been certain times where I felt like I was where I was acting, where I was being acted through, where I was being done through. But many times it's just me. It's me, and I feel like I want to do the right thing, reminds me of the verdict, the Paul Newman summation at the end. We yearn to do the right thing, but what is the right thing? And there's another passage in this book, in NTI, which I found so comforting and really so gentle. And it's and I don't know if I'll quote it perfectly, but it said something like, when you seek to do my will, but you are not certain what to do, do what you would do in peace and in purpose, and trust that I will use it. So if that voice of guidance one cannot perceive, then what that passage is saying to us is it really doesn't matter what you do. And there might be argument there on that point or not, and I'm not really concerned about that. But really, to me, what it's saying is it's not so important what you do. What is important is the motivation. If you are doing it in peace and in purpose, then it will be used. And it cuts out a lot of confusion, a lot of strife in trying to, I can't hear it, I can't, and, you know, it just, it removes all that. As long as you do it in peace and in purpose, you cannot go wrong. There is no mistake. And right here it says, for you cannot make a mistake. If a mistake must be an action taken apart from me, we can act unconsciously. And that can appear as what we would call a mistake. But there, in truth, which is what we're talking about, we're talking about the truth. We are not speaking truth. We're talking about the truth. There is no action that we can take that is a mistake, because there is a lesson inherent in every single occurrence that occurs on this planet before you. There is the presence of God in every single circumstance that comes before you to witness. And it is just up to us to be witness to that. So I did want I do truly appreciate that passage that which I just referred to, because it really took a lot of confusion away and a lot of unnecessary effort out of my hands, and it took much guilt away. It took a lot of guilt away also, because here I am trying to hear what is the right thing to do, as if my life depended on it, you know, as if my existence and my happiness depended on it. And as long as I was certain that I was doing this in purpose or for a transcendent experience of what I had previously thought myself to be, then I was on the right path. I was moving towards closer to the realization of truth.
Wow, how sweet. Yeah. Both the Holy Spirit and what you said is, it's just so sweet, and it takes the fear out of it, because they're saying, you know, there's no reason to fear. So that's just, yeah. So if it's done in purpose.
Yeah.
Then don't worry about it.
Right.
Do the best.
You're in the right place. Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the right place.
Yeah.
You've come to the right place.
Right. Yeah.
All right. How sweet. Thank you.
All right.
Sweet explanation, huh?
Oh, thank you, Connie. To continue. Be not concerned over nothing, for this is a distraction from your joy. Instead, look only to me, and you look only to reality, which is joy, because reality knows not of separateness, and so it knows not of nothing. That which knows not of nothing must be everything, and it is that which I am. and you are also.
Yeah, he's just taking all of our fear away from us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah. Even there, you know, it says, instead, look only to me, capital M. And basically, that's us speaking to ourselves. That's us, that's me addressing the divinity within myself. I'm starting to identify with that divinity, not as this Tom person moving about in the world, but as the unaffected witness, the unaffected observer, the one who is grateful for all emanations of the spirit. So again, it is very comforting. And we'll move on to NTI John chapter 16. One will is within you, so that the one you serve is yourself. This is your purpose, to serve yourself fully. This is the purpose for which you were created. And so it is this that will bring you the greatest of joy.
And I can really appreciate that, because so much of my resistance has been, I'm not sure that I want to totally surrender to this. But what am I surrendering to? I'm surrendering to myself, my one self, my higher self, my divine self, like you just explained in the last section.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's not something that's separate from me. So it's much easier. The resistance just falls away when I realize what this says. It is yourself.
Right. Yeah. And what you just said reminds me of something I read Nisargadatta said. You already are what you are. Investigate yourself and find out what you are not. And as you were just saying, there is that resistance to letting go of what we are not. There's a resistance to letting go of the ego or the separate self, because we have become so identified with it.
Which is the totality of the Course of Miracles.
The totality of it, right.
Is the undoing.
Right. Exactly, right. It's the undoing. There truly is nothing to learn. We are in an unlearning position right here. We are in a surrender mode. We are not here to gather information. We're not here to know anything. We already know what we are. That becomes much clearer as we surrender, be willing to surrender more and more.
And we have glimpses of that even in this experience when we do the inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I've done the inquiry correctly, the relief is, you know, Atlas taking the world off his shoulders, right? It's that kind of relief when I've had that experience of that. So
yeah. And who cannot be grateful for such relief,
yeah,
right?
Really,
am I right?
Really,
isn't
absolutely.
That?
Yes, and it's enough to bring you to tears.
Yeah, it is.
That often does.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Let's see here. Let's see. Okay. Okay.
All right. But within you also, there is a great resistance to your one true joy, which you were just expressing. Bye, darling.
Bye, Jerry. Have a good trip.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye. But within you also, there is a great resistance to your one true joy, which you were just illustrating.
Yeah, because I'm a knucklehead and don't realize that it's my joy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
For this part of your mind does not know your joy.
Right.
And it does not know you.
Right.
It will tell you that you are what you are not. It will insist that following the path of truth is to follow the path of falsity, and that in following the path of falsity, you will surely die.
Yes, brother.
And I have also often explained myself in my own experience that I know in The Course in Miracles it talks about a split mind, and my experience is that I have a split heart, and that is that there is devotion there's a devotion to this separate self, this Tom self, and I need to be honest about that. Yes, there is a devotion to him. I look out for his well-being. I look out for his comfort. I look out for his safety, his security. But it's from such a limited perspective that I am able to. And in truth, nothing that separate self does has any impact at all whatsoever. It is just a voice, and what is going to happen is going to happen no matter what that little self does. But the heart, for me, there is the true heart, which is unaffected, which is just total acceptance, expansive joy, and inclusion, and then there is what I consider the conceptual heart, which has learned ever since it came on board this planet that happiness must be pursued, that love must be sought, and that is the heart that I have had the experience of operating from, that if I'm looking for love, I have to look for it outside of myself. That if I'm looking for joy, I need to look for an occasion to see that joy. That is the separate self. That is the separate self looking out for its own interest, trying to do on its own behalf, trying to seek for happiness outside itself. The experience has been painful. it has become so conditioned that I've had to really take the time to just totally be in silence with this, because I have found that it created such a suffering that I really just needed to really, really, truly just sit and look upon it. And if I really want to know myself, then I have to be much more devoted to the true self, to the true heart. And so that's why the path of silence has been so instrumental for me, because that's what I am. I am the silence. I am the silence. But until I become silent, I won't identify with the silence. If I'm about in the world, and if I'm conversing, and if I'm doing this and I'm doing that, that's what I'm going to identify with, because that's where my focus is. So in order to identify with that silence and with that unaffected being, I have to sit with that, and I have to just really bask in it. And it, many times it's very uncomfortable, but after a while I'm able to, you know, move into it, and I start to feel the identification with the silence. I kind of went off on a tangent there, so I don't know.
Well, I think this next paragraph is going to talk about in terms of light, which I think we can readily identify with, just like you were talking about the silence.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Listen not to the voice that does not know you, which is this personal self. the voice of the personal self. Listen not to the voice that does not know you. Heed not its warnings, for the light is in you, and you are the light.
You are the silence, and you are the light. Right?
Yes, yeah, right. You are the silence, and you are the light. Darkness cannot be your way. Remain focused on the light, and you remain focused on your truth. Right, and Connie, that is kind of like what I was referring to.
Yeah.
Remain focused on the light.
Yeah, you just said that. Where's your focus?
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So your focus, this is saying it by means of light, but it's the
right.
Same, it's the
silence.
Same thing as
it's
silence.
The same, right.
Right,
it's a synonym,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Stay with the light, and you stand firmly on the path of joy and truth. The path of light is found within. Always it is within that guides you.
And that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying that your path within is the path of silence.
Yes.
That the path of silence is your light.
Yes, exactly. And
okay.
I've heard much discussion about attention and not to be contradictory or I find that there is semantics, but I find that there is attention, and I look at the word attention and the word intention, and I look at attention, which is A-T and then tension, T-E-N-T-I-O-N, as looking at. And then intention, which is to me the word T-E-N-T-I-O-N, that means looking in. And if I'm looking at, then I always feel like I'm looking outside of myself. The focus is looking out. But when I go with intention, immediately I'm drawn home. It's like drawn into the deeper parts of my heart where there is no conflict, there is no confusion. It's the intention to go within. To me, intention is go within. And instead of using attention, which is, again, to me, it seems that is the focus that we give to objects or circumstances. So that's something that I use for myself.
Very cool.
Thank you. The path of light is found within. And I know I'm starting again. Always it is within that guides you. Seek not to find your path without. For to seek without is to deny who you are. Seek within. For because of who you are, the answer must lie there. And in the Course in Miracles, it says the outer picture is just a reflection of the inner condition, or something to that degree. And I just see the importance of always needing to look within before I look without. Always to, and if I don't even ever look without, I would be happy looking just within. The world is there for our entertainment, for it's really there for our awakening. If I never looked out again, that's fine. As long as I'm looking within, that suffices. That is sufficient to bring me the peace and the joy that is my inheritance.
This really is. It's quite appropriate that you came back to this lesson.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Johnny. Jesus has been given as a symbol of your truth. And all that Jesus speaks, he speaks of me. For Jesus and I are one, just as you and I are one. And we can use Jesus as a symbol of ourselves. We can look at, we can read of his experience, and it was what the personal self would call a horrific experience. But we have those same emotions. The form of his suffering is no different than what we suffer. The doubt, the insecurity, the unassuredness, all of that he went through. And so we can use the symbol of Jesus as a clear mirror of our own experience, and know that there is transcendence. There is the overcoming of the world, the overcoming of death. There is no death.
Sweet.
Yeah. Thanks. Look at your brother Jesus and know that the light that is him is you also. When Jesus said that he had overcome the world, he meant that he had transcended the world in love. To transcend the world in love is to open to the realization that all that is not love is not in reality. This is to know the truth of all men. And to know the truth of all men is to know and see the light. To know and see the light is to also know that the world cannot be. For that which is not light cannot be when light is all there is. Sorry about the coughing. I've been smoking a bit too much. For that which is not light cannot be when light is all there is. And again, it's bringing us to the formless, to the essence of what we are, which is formless. Even though light is a form, we move from...
It's a symbol.
It's a symbol, right, yes.
It's a symbol of the awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And you know, and when it says here something about, you know, it's not in the world, where, how does it say that? He meant that he had transcended the world in love.
Mm.
So, and it's what you're saying. This has nothing to do with form.
Right.
The world is the form.
It's the
unreality, simply because it is the form.
Right. Exactly.
So, when, I mean, that is a step in knowing that it sees that it is transcendable.
Right. And the nature of form is to die. It's to live, flourish, and die. And so, of course, the knowledge of death, which we think we have, is really, this again is from my experience, the knowledge of death drives the ego.
Sure.
That is the driving force of the ego.
Yeah, which to us is the ultimate form.
Right.
Because it is, because we see ourselves as that.
Right, exactly.
So it's the
right.
Ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it brings us to the forefront. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're talking about form.
Yeah.
Saying I'm nothing.
Right.
Right?
Right, right. Yes, because the ego.
And that's where all of our fear stems from.
Yes.
Because you're asking me to surrender to what would seem like
it's invisible.
Formlessness,
right.
Which would be, in the ego's mind, is the nothingness.
Right.
Is non-existence.
Right. Right.
So this is telling us right here, as many other places, that no, to transcend the world in love is to open to the realization that 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 is not love is not reality.
Right. Right. Yes. And I had a point to kind of left me. No, that's all right. That's the way that works.
And I think Cheryl's right. I mean, yet most of us, without the daily practice, certainly aren't going to be able to hold this into our realization.
Yes.
Of that
right.
being the truth.
Yes, because we are deeply, deeply, deeply conditioned. And to fall back into that conditioning it takes devotion. It takes
tremendous
devotion.
Yeah, Tom was
devotion.
Just talking about it because he hadn't been with us for a while. He's been up in New York working, and he was talking about that conditioning he went through just from having a daily job.
Yeah.
And
right.
And it seemed to take the place of this reality that you spend most of your time in, which is a meditative.
Yeah.
So you were dealing with.
Right.
I'm trying to tell your story and tell
it
very poorly, but.
Well, no, I work about 4 months out of the year with my brother, and we. Have a season that we work, and it's a tenacious season. It's 6 to 7 days a week, and it's 10, 12, 14 hours a day, and so we just go and go and go. And I've been doing this for about 10 years with him, and when that season starts approaching, there's an energy that's coming upon me, and I'm realizing that. You know, it's kind of like a trade-off. You know, I get to work for 4 months, and then the other 8 months I can spend in silence. And but coming back into the silence, it takes a little bit of, there's a transition phase that, I find that there's always a transition phase. Even having a couple of days off with my brother, I would have a couple of days off towards the end of the season when it was getting slower. And just having the 2 days off and then sinking it back in and then having to work the next day, I could feel that, okay, I'm going, there's this conditioned response that comes upon me where it's like, okay, the defenses start to come, the fear starts to come. And that's really why, when you were talking, I was just thinking about that's why this is constantly saying, and what Cheryl was talking about, it's always talking about go within. And because, like you were saying, the sense of form is mesmerizing and is constantly saying, go within. There is no form within. There is no form within. Go there.
Yeah, we're and
yeah.
Human beings, or when we think we're human beings, and we seem to be playing in the world of form.
Mm. Yeah.
We become
mesmerized by it.
Yes.
We become identified with it.
We become identified with it, and then so the body then goes through we go through this this fear.
Right.
Because
we
see the body as who we are.
We see the body as who we are. We see the body aging. We see the body losing its dexterity. We see certain signs of other signs of aging.
But that's still all connected to the whole idea of form. And
right.
That being who we are.
Yes. Yes.
And who we are is really mind or spirit.
Right. And that's why
and
I
that's
keep
why
saying,
you,
look within.
That's why you keep talking about that's how you're spending your time.
Yeah. Looking within.
Looking within.
And identifying with the formlessness.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. Yes.
Because. Yeah.
The question's been asked, can a CEO be enlightened? And the answer was no.
Mm.
Not if you, because if you're the implication is if you're a CEO, your time and your energies are going to be caught up in the form of profits.
Right.
And
profits
those,
and loss and
those type of energies.
Right. Thank you, Connie. All right. This was Jesus' joy, and this shall be your joy also. How could Jesus deny a death when death is defined as leaving a world that does not exist?
That's what you just said, Tom.
Yeah. To leave a world that is not real is not to die. It is to wake up from a dream that you thought was real but was not.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, the ominous overtones that society lends to the concept of death are just, they are deep, they are deeply rooted, and the veins run through every part of society. You can see the fear of death.
Right.
If you're aware, you know, if you're into the metaphysics of it, they go
on
and they go
on
and on. Right. we fear death and we consider death a great hardship and we'll go, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss and oh my God, it's tragic, you know.
Yeah.
Or
the fear of your own is just.
And the fear of your own. Right. And, truly, we have no understanding of death. It's only our imagination of what death is. That's what we fear. We fear what we imagine death to be, which is the disappearance of the form.
Or our disappearance of
right.
our existence.
Of our existence.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, when my body dies.
Right.
And am I going to be no more?
Right. And that's why it's constantly telling you, look within.
Right.
Always telling you, look within. Look within where there is no form. You know you exist if you look within.
Right.
Look where you exist with no form right now.
Yeah.
And you will know that there is no death, that you cannot die.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah.
Page 207, Marge.
Oh.
Welcome, Marge.
Hi, Marge. Sentence 12. I don't know what the verse 12, or I call it sentence 12.
There you go.
The resurrection is an awakening. It is to awaken to the reality of the Father and your oneness with Him. It is to know the truth and joy that you call heaven.
Yeah, heaven's not a place.
No, it's not a place. No. Put it on your GPS and it's not going to show you. It is not a change at all, but only an awareness that seems to be change, because all that you are aware of now is not true, and all that you are aware of in truth is only true. All that you are aware of in truth is only true.
Yeah, and once again, so the form is not what we're talking about here.
Right, and it's made very obvious because in sentence 15 it says it is not a change at all. So that means if there is no change, then what is here with us right now is there the moment of that moving from this body into.
Bodylessness.
Right, thank you. It's not a change at all. So that's why we look within.
Right.
That's why it's imperative to look within. What is not going to change? What is not a change at all? Let me ask that question. What is not a change at all? Okay, then it means it's here right now. And all simply need to do is look within. And I can't help but find it because it's me.
Right. Having nothing to do with the body.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to finish sentence 16 and then we'll move on. This seems to be a change when it is not, because only the truth is true, and all that could ever be true is truth.
Yeah, like Cheryl's saying there, eternal, changeless, and limitless.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right, right. And it is our present experience if we can look there.
We don't have to wait to the death of the body.
Right.
In fact, you might want to go ahead and look at it now, so you won't be afraid of the death.
Right.
Of the body.
Oh, that's a very good point. That's absolutely the point, because if we move, you know, if we move into in this human experience, if we go into that. The death, what we call the death experience, and if we go into that afraid, oh, hold on.
Go back a page. Can you do that? There we go.
Okay. All right. We lost it for a second. Are we being heard? Okay, great. All right. If we're afraid of that death, if we're so focused on that fear of death, the Eastern philosophies will tell us that means you got another date here. You're going to have another birthday. In the movie The Nines, it says, it's a nice place, you got here, it's comfortable, but do you remember where you came from?
Yeah.
And really, having gone home, there will be no desire, the experience of form has worn its tread. We're ready to move past that. NTI John chapter 17. The symbol is not truth, but what the symbol points to is truth. The symbol very clearly points to this. Life is eternal, and there is no death. And again, the symbol is Jesus. I will take it in
the Holy Spirit.
Oh, in the Holy Spirit, sure. Life is eternal, and there is no death. Death is only fear, but fear is not real. Life is love, and love is all that is. You cannot know death, because you are life. But you may choose the image of fear and think you know death. No image of fear can last, because it is only an image of form. And that which is must shine above all false images. But you may choose death as an experience while you live. And you may also choose not to choose an experience that isn't real. To choose the truth is to glorify the Father who is truth. To glorify the Father is to glorify the Son who is one with him in truth. The light blesses the Son of God, for all that the light does, for all that the light does see and does know is God and is of God. And I was I was in meditation last night, and there's different things that come up for a helpful contemplation or meditation. And what came up was the life force and the recognition. It's just another way of saying God, calling it the life force. But there's a bit of a nuance there where I can see that the life force that animates this being that I call Tom or people call Tom is the same life force that animates this being sitting next to me called Connie, and that animates every name on that is out there on the board. It is the same life force. And that's what this is saying. That is all there is to see. So that is all that the light does see. The life force. It is the God realization. It's God being realized within. That is what is witness to. But the light also understands that the sleeping Son of God, who experiences a world within a dream, knows not that he is dreaming.
At least we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
We know that we're dreaming.
Yes, we have that understanding. That's true. We're grateful for that.
Yes.
The light is not concerned with the dream, as the dream is not of the light, but the light is aware of a belief in the dream.
Yeah. We've heard that many times.
Yes.
That the Holy Spirit knows that you, which is your higher self, of course, which knows that you think
that you're this form figure, this form figure,
right?
Yes.
And that you're concerned with the dream.
Yes, and it's very gentle with, and for those purposes, it's very gentle with you, and bringing you out of your mesmerization. And so the light reaches within the dream and talks within the dream, that the sleeping Son of God may awaken to see it was only a dream.
Thank you.
You who are reading these words are the sleeping Son of God. And still we do sleep, obviously, because we still have devotion. You know, there is still devotion to the personal self. There's no question that we still, that we still have devotion to that form figure.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. You who are reading these words are the sleeping Son of God. You are sleeping because you believe in the world.
In the world of form, yes.
And the world of form. And you are the Son of God because you are the extension of the light that is God. You can't be a form figure without God. Even that which is untrue needs God to give it animation, to give it the light, to give it existence, the appearance of existence. It can't have the appearance of existence without God. All men are of the light, so all men must be of God.
There you go, said what you just said.
Therefore, all men are the Son of God, only they do not know it yet. You who are reading these words are opening to the acceptance of these words. That is why you are reading them. You are ready. And this is not some outside entity telling us this. This is our true being telling us this.
Right.
Revealing our readiness to us.
Right. Revealing us to ourselves.
Let us not doubt these words. These are spoken by ourselves, to ourselves. Many aspects of the light are not ready to see they are the light. This is not a problem, because they are the light anyway. But you, who are reading these words, are ready to know the light that you are.
Truth is truth.
Yeah. And it is you. And
yeah.
It is you presenting yourself right now. And so I shall lead you, but I shall lead you from within. focus within, where the word of your Father is. Focus within, that you may know and remember his name.
And this is where we started. Let's talk about...
within.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not worried about the world of form.
Right. Right. Yeah. And even if you are worried about the world of form, accept yourself where you are. And this is something, actually we were talking about this the other day, accepting where we are, you know, and not kicking ourselves in the ass thinking that we should be further along or whatever. Just because that promotes redundancy, and so we repetition, and so we don't want to repeat our we don't need to repeat lessons. We like to learn the lesson obviously the first time. Usually it takes us more than one time to hear it, but repetition is a cause, you know, is another cause of suffering. Repeating lessons, so we don't like to kick ourselves in it. Focus within, that you may know and remember his name. O Holy One, there is only one cause for joy. For all that you are is all that you are, and you are blessed and beloved, as is everyone. And it says that there is only one cause for joy. So
actually, no, it says there's only cause for joy.
Oh, there is only cause for joy. Thank you, Connie. There is only cause for joy.
Oh, Holy One, there is only cause for joy.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay.
All right. I'll continue with sentence three. May peace dawn upon you as you realize the truth of my words. My words. Your words. Our words.
The divine words.
May peace light up your mind as you see the joy that is your brothers and your sisters. May peace be all there is within experience as you accept the truth as all that could be true. To accept the truth as all that could be true is to accept the false as false. This is to let go of condemnation, for all that you accept is peace and joy and life.
Seems like that shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah, all we got to do is let go of condemnation, and we're going to offer you peace, joy, and life. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's let it go.
And all that is not of those things, you know, is not of God. And so it cannot be real.
And that's where we started. We started with this is an undoing.
Yeah.
So for the false to be undone is to let go of those things that are not true, which is the condemnation, which is our judgment.
Yes, exactly. And to cease to be mesmerized by our imagination. Because imagination is the tool of creativity, but is also the tool of imagery, imagination, image, creating false images. No experience is true. To surrender our fascination with our imagination is important, and that comes in about by like in watching movies and stuff like that, and identifying with the form figures. We identify very often with form figures. We identify with a situation. We identify with their circumstances, and a lot of times that. It doesn't take us deeper into the dream, maybe, but it doesn't, we're still not moving, as expeditiously as we could, because we're using our imagination to identify with a form figure. So, it's important to it was saying, is to just stay conscious, I don't know where it was, but just to be present, to be devoted to the truth, to be devoted to that sense of oneness that is within all of us, and it just keeps telling us to look within, and before you ever look without, look within, because if I don't look within first, and in this process, there seems to be effort involved in looking within before I look without. That's okay.
And that's a practice.
That's a practice, right? I have to just really look within and really sense my divinity, my eternal, the realization that when this body dies, I continue. I don't miss a beat. I thought that was so cool when it said, "There's no change. There is no change." Something falls away, a form falls away, but there is no change in you.
Right.
You're the same as you are now. And
very cool.
Yeah, it was really a really enriching reading, and I appreciate the opportunity to do this with you, Connie. It was really a delight.
Well, like I said, this is so up your alley, this is what Tom is about in his devotion, and that is being with himself, with all that is within, and having that experience. His life is dedicated to that, and so it was quite appropriate that he came home just in time to teach us today.
Thank you, Connie.
Thank you, Connie.
So sweet. Love you.
Love you, too. Thanks, everybody.
All right, we sure do appreciate the opportunity to share this with you, and we love being here with you guys, and we're going to send it back to Cheryl now. Cheryl, thanks so much for letting us do this. Love you too, Marge. Bye, all.
Bye.
I'm just trying to get out now.